I was 6 years old and I had 60 stitches. You call that no harm done? You're being disgusting. Alora stood up and waved me off. That's not at all how a princess should behave. I wanted to protest, but nothing came out of my mouth. Her reaction left me feeling dazed and strange. I let my shirt fall back down over my belly as Alora glided over to the window. She clasped her hands in front of her and stared outside. She never said a single word. But a minute later, Finn appeared in the doorway.
You need something, Alora?
Finn did a small bow to her back, making me think she probably had ways of seeing him even when she wasn't looking.
Wendy is tired.
Set her up in her room, Alora commanded diffidently.
See that she has everything she needs.
Of course.
Finn looked at me. His dark eyes were comforting, and even though I knew this was just his job, I felt relieved knowing he was there. He left hastily, and I hurried after him. I wrapped my arms tightly around myself, trying to steady my nerves. I was still reeling from everything, trying to make sense of how I fit into all this. Alora was right, though. I probably did need to get cleaned up, and maybe if I slept on it, everything would seem better somehow. But I doubted it. Finn led me up a winding staircase and down another elaborate hall. At the end, he opened a heavy wooden door, revealing what I assumed was my room. It was massive, with high vaulted ceilings and one entirely windowed wall that made it seem even larger. A gigantic four-poster bed sat in the center, and an array of gleaming modern furnishings surrounded it. The room boasted a laptop, flat screen, gaming systems, iPod, and every other gadget I could possibly want. Finn opened the closet door, which was already stocked with clothing. He opened another door and flicked on the light, revealing my own private bathroom, which more closely resembled a spa.
How do you know where everything is? I asked.
He seemed to know this house very well, and having him there beside me helped calm me some.
I stay here from time to time,
Finn replied nonchalantly.
What? Why?
I felt a horrible pang of jealousy, terrified that he was somehow involved with Alora in a perverse fashion. He did seem to revere her more than I thought he should.
Protection. Your mother is a very powerful woman, but she's not all-powerful,
Finn explained vaguely.
Since I'm a tracker, I can tune into her. I can sense danger and aid her if it's required.
Is it required?
At that moment, I didn't particularly care if a band of raging marauders tried to do her in. But if there were frequent attacks on her castle, I thought I should know.
I'll help you get acclimated. Everybody knows this isn't a perfect system. Reese's room is down the hall. My room, along with Alora's, is on the other wing.
Didn't escape me that Finn had ignored my question entirely. But it had been a long day, so I let it pass. I definitely felt better knowing he would be around. I didn't think I could handle it all if I was left alone in this house with that woman. While she was clearly stunning and powerful, there wasn't any warmth to her. I hadn't realized that I even wanted that until now. After all the years of rejecting Maggie's and even Matt's attempts at bonding, I hadn't known how much I'd crave basic human warmth once it was gone.
So, did you do this?
I gestured to my high-tech room.
No, Reese decorated it.
Finn didn't look that interested in any of the expensive gear I had lying about, so that made sense.
The clothes were all Willa, I believe. You'll meet her later on.
Reese isn't my brother? I asked again. I couldn't figure out how he fit into all of this. We had only met briefly, but he seemed nice and normal.
No, he's Mainskleeg,
Finn answered, as if I would understand.
What does that mean?
I furrowed my brow at him.
It means he's not your brother.
Finn replied glibly and made a step toward the door.
Is there anything you need before I go?
His abrupt decision to leave disappointed me, especially when I felt so isolated and confused, but I had no reason to keep him. Still hugging myself tightly, I shook my head and sat on the bed. Instead of leaving, Finn paused and looked back at me.
Are you going to be all right with all of this?
Finn asked, eyeing me intently. I don't know, I admitted. This wasn't at all what I had expected. It was far grander and far worse than anything I had envisioned. I feel like I'm in the Princess Diaries, if Julie Andrews had been a thief. Finn murmured knowingly and walked back over to me. He sat on the bed and crossed his arms over his chest.
I know this way of life is a hard concept for some.
They're grifters, Finn. I swallowed hard. That's all they are. I'm just a means of swindling money out of rich people.
Joke's on her, though. My family's not that rich. I can assure you that you are much more than that to her. Much more. Alora is a complicated woman, and showing emotion doesn't come easy for her. But she is a good woman. Regardless of whether you have money or not, you will have a place here.
Do you know how much money they have? The Everlys? I asked.
Yes, Finn said almost hesitantly. Alora had me checking your finances while I tracked you.
How much? I asked.
Do you want to know your trust and what you stand to inherit? Or your guardian and your brother's total wealth?
Finn's face had gone expressionless.
Do you want net worth? Liquid assets? Are you including real estate like the house they still own in the Hamptons? Dollar amount?
I don't really care, I shook my head. I was just... Alora was convinced that we really did have a lot of money, and I was just curious. I didn't even know I had a trust fund until today.
Yes, you really do have a lot of money, Finn said. More than even Alora had originally thought.
I nodded and looked at my feet.
You lived well below your means.
I think Maggie thought it would be better for me and Matt, and I never really cared that much about money. I kept staring at my feet, and then finally I looked up at Finn. They would give me anything. They would give me all of it if I asked. But I'm never taking any money from them. Not for myself, and certainly not for Alora. Make sure you tell her that when you go back to her. I had expected him to protest in some way. But Finn surprised me. His lips curled into the hint of a smile. And if anything, he looked almost proud of me.
I will, he promised, amusement tinging his voice. But right now, you should shower. You'll feel better after.
Finn helped me settle into my room. My closet was massive and overstocked, but he knew exactly where my new pajamas were. He taught me how to close the blinds for my windows, which were run by remote control, and how to turn on my overly complicated shower. Once he left, I sat on the edge of the tub and tried not to let this all get to me. I was starting to think that Matt and Maggie might have been the only people who loved me for me. And now I was supposed to steal from them. Even if it wasn't really stealing, I knew they would freely give me anything I asked for. And that only made it hurt worse. Chapter 9. Homesick. When I came out of my shower, wrapped in a fluffy bathrobe, I was surprised to find Ree sitting on my bed. He had my iPod, the one that had come with the room, and he was scrolling through it. I cleared my throat loudly, since he apparently hadn't heard me exit the bathroom.
Oh, hey!
Ree set aside the iPod and got to his feet, grinning at me in a way that made his eyes sparkle.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to see how you were doing, how you liked it here.
I don't know. My hair had to be a terrible mess, and I pulled a hand through the wet tangles. It's too soon to tell yet.
You like the stuff?
Ree asked, gesturing around the room.
I picked out everything that I liked, which I know sounds kind of vain. I asked for some input from Rhiannon, because she's a girl, but it's still so hard to pick out stuff for someone you've never met. No, it all looks really good. You did a great job. I rubbed my eyes and yawned. Oh, sorry. You're probably exhausted. Reese stood up. I just got done with school and I didn't have a chance to talk to you earlier. But, yeah, I'll leave you be. Wait, you just got done with school? I furrowed my brow, trying to understand. Does that mean you're a tracker? No. It was his turn to look confused. I'm Manx. When he saw the perplexed look on my face, he corrected himself. Sorry, it's just short for Mainskleeg. What the hell does that mean? I demanded. My low energy made it hard to conceal my exasperation. They'll explain it to you later, Reese shrugged. Anyway, I should let you freshen up. If I'm not in my room, I'll be downstairs getting some food. Are you happy here? I blurted out before I could think about how rude that sounded. His eyes met mine just for a second, revealing something intense I couldn't quite decipher. But then he quickly dropped them. Why wouldn't I be happy? Reese asked wryly. He ran his fingers along my silk sheets, staring at the bedspread intently. I have everything a kid could want. Video games, cars, toys, money, clothes, servants. He trailed off, but then a slow smile returned to his face, and he looked up at me. And now I have a princess living across the hall from me. I'm ecstatic. I'm not really a princess. I shook my head and tucked my hair behind my ears. Not in the real sense of the word. I mean, I just got here. You look like a princess to me. The way he smiled at me made me want to blush. So I looked down, unsure of what else to do. So what about you? I kept my head down, but I raised my eyes to meet his. The smile playing on my lips felt oddly flirtatious, but I didn't mind. Are you some kind of prince? Hardly, Reese laughed. He plucked at his sandy hair, looking rather sheepish. I should probably let you finish getting dressed. The chef is off tonight, so supper is on me. Reese turned and walked down the hall, whistling a song I didn't recognize. I shut my door, wishing I could understand this all better. I was a Trill princess to a grifter empire, and I had a Mainskleeg living across the hall from me. Whatever the hell that meant. I lived in this amazingly stunning house with these cold, indifferent people, and the price of admission was stealing from the only people who cared about me. Sure, Finn was here, but he had made it perfectly clear that his only interest in me was business. I went through my closet, looking for something to wear. Most of the clothes seemed too fancy for me. Not that I had grown up wearing rags or anything. In fact, if my mother, Kim, hadn't gone crazy and left, these would be exactly the kind of clothes I'd be expected to wear now. All high-class fashion pieces. Eventually, I managed to dig up a simple skirt and shirt that resembled something I'd actually wear. I was starving, so I headed off to find the kitchen to take Reese up on his offer. The tile floors were cold under my feet, and strangely, I had yet to see any rugs or carpet in the entire house. I had never been fond of the feel of carpet on my feet, or really the feel of anything on them. When I thought back to my glimpse of the closet here, as large and full as it had been, there hadn't been any shoes. It must be a Trill thing. And that thought was oddly comforting. I was part of something. I passed through the living room where a fireplace filled the partial wall separating it from an elegant dining room. The furniture appeared to be handcrafted wood and was upholstered in white. The floors were all smooth golden wood, and everything was aimed toward the glass wall, forcing you to admire the view. Nice digs, right? Reese said, and I whirled around to find him standing behind me, smiling. Yeah. I looked around the room appreciatively. Allura definitely has good taste. Yeah.
Rhys shrugged. You gotta be hungry, though. Come on, I'll whip you up something in the kitchen.
He started walking out of the room, and I followed him. You'll probably hate what I make, though. You're into all that health food junk like everybody else, right?
I don't know. I had never thought of myself as a health nut, but the things I preferred tended to be organic and vegan.
I like natural things, I guess.
He nodded knowingly as he led me past the ornate dining room into a massive kitchen. There were two professional-grade stoves, two massive stainless steel fridges, a gigantic island in the center, and more cupboards than the residents in this house could possibly use. Rhys went over to the fridge and pulled out a bottle of Mountain Dew and a bottle of water.
Water, right? Rhys held it out to me, and I took it from him. I'm really not the best cook, but you'll have to settle for my cooking.
How often do you have a chef? I asked. In a place like this, they definitely had some kind of staff.
Part-time.
Rhys took a sip from his Mountain Dew, then set it on the island and went to the other fridge to start rooting around.
Just weekends, but that's because it's usually when we entertain. I don't know what Alora eats during the week, but I'm on a fend-for-yourself basis.
I leaned on the island, drinking my water. This kitchen reminded me of the one in our house in the Hamptons. The one Kim had attempted filicide in. But that one had been smaller. If she hadn't left, this was probably how I would have been raised. In fact, I'm sure this was how she had been brought up. Maggie easily could have lived like this. I thought back to what Finn had told me about Matt and Maggie living well below their means. I wondered why it was so important to them to preserve the family nest egg. The only explanation that made sense was that they were saving it for me, to make sure I was taken care of for the rest of my life. Which probably seemed all the more necessary given my problems at school. Funny that the very thing Alora planned to steal from them was precisely what they planned to give. And Maggie had made it clear through her choices that taking care of me herself was more important than spending money. She had made a choice that my own mother never would have.
So you like shiitake mushrooms, right?
Rhys was saying. He had been pulling things out of the fridge, but I had been too lost in thought to notice. His arms were overflowing with vegetables.
Yeah, I love mushrooms.
I straightened up and tried to see what all he had, and for the most part, it looked like things I enjoyed.
Excellent.
Rhys grinned at me and dropped his armload of food into the kitchen sink.
I'm going to make you the best stir fry you've ever tasted.
He went about chopping things up, and I offered to help him, but he insisted that he could handle it. The whole time he talked amicably about the new motorcycle he'd gotten last week. I tried to keep up with the conversation, but all I knew about motorcycles were that they went fast and I liked them.
What are you making in here?
Finn came into the kitchen, his expression vaguely disgusted. His hair was damp from a recent shower, and he smelled like the grass after a rain, only sweeter. He walked past me without even a glance in my direction and went over to where Rhys had thrown everything into a wok on the stove.
Stir fry, Rhys proclaimed. Really?
Finn leaned over his shoulder and peered down at the ingredients in the pan. Rhys moved to the side a little so Finn could reach in and grab something out of it. He sniffed it, then popped it into his mouth.
Well, it's not terrible. Stop my beating heart!
Rhys put his hand over his heart and feigned astonishment.
Has my food passed the test of the hardest food critic in the land? No, I just said it wasn't terrible.
Finn shook his head at Rhys's dramatics and went to the fridge to get a bottle of water.
And I'm certain that Alora is a much harsher food critic than I'll ever be. That's probably true, but she's never let me cook for her,
Rhys admitted, shaking the wok to stir up the vegetables more.
You really shouldn't let him cook for you,
Finn advised, looking at me for the first time.
He gave me food poisoning once.
You cannot get food poisoning from an orange, Rhys protested and looked back at him.
It's just not possible. And even if you can, I handed you the orange. I didn't even have a chance to contaminate it.
I don't know,
Finn shrugged. A smile was creeping onto his face, and I could tell he was amused by how much Reese was getting worked up.
You didn't even eat the part I touched. You peeled it and threw the skin away.
Reese sounded exasperated. He wasn't paying attention to the walk as he struggled to convince us of his innocence, and a flame licked up from the food.
Food's on fire. Finn nodded to the stove.
Damn it!
Reese got a glass of water and splashed it in the stir fry. And I started to question how good this was going to taste when he was done with it. If being picky is a Trill trait, and it sounds like it is, how come Reese isn't picky? I asked. Is it because he's Manx? In a flash, Finn's face changed to a mask of stone.
Where did you hear that word? From Allura?
No, from Reese, I said. Reese was still bustling around the stove, but something about his posture had changed. He appeared almost sheepish. And I wish one of you would tell me what that means. What's the big mystery? Reese turned around, a nervous glint in his eye, and exchanged a look with Finn that I couldn't read.
Allura will explain everything in time, Finn said. But until then, it's not our place to discuss it.
Reese turned around again, but I knew that the icy edge in Finn's voice hadn't escaped him. On that note, Finn turned and walked out of the kitchen. Well, that was weird, I said to no one in particular. When Reese finished cooking, he pulled stools up to the island. Fortunately, the awkward moment had passed and our mood lightened again.
So what do you think?
Reese nodded at the plate of food I was trying to eat.
It's pretty good, I lied.
He had obviously worked hard on it, and his blue eyes showed how proud he was of it, so I couldn't let him down. To prove my point, I took a bite and smiled.
Good. You guys are hard to cook for.
When Reese took a mouthful of his own food, his sandy hair fell into his eyes and he brushed it away.
So, you know Finn pretty well?
I asked carefully, stabbing my fork into a mushroom.
Their banter earlier had left me curious.
Before things got weird, Finn seemed to genuinely enjoy Reese, and I had never seen Finn enjoy anybody. The closest he came was respect and obedience for Allura, but I couldn't tell what his true feelings were for her.
I guess, Reese shrugged like he hadn't really thought about it. He's just around a lot.
Like, how often? I pressed as casually as I could.
I don't know.
He took a bite and thought for a minute.
It's hard to say. Storks move around a lot.
Storks?
Yeah, trackers.
Reese smiled sheepishly.
You know how you tell little kids that a stork brings the babies? Well, trackers bring the babies here, so we call them storks. Not to their faces, though.
I see. I wondered what kind of nickname they had for people like me, but I didn't think that now was the best time to ask.
So, they move around a lot?
Well, yeah. They're gone tracking a lot, and Finn is in pretty high demand because he's so good at it,
Reese explained.
And then when they come back, a lot of them stay with some of the more prestigious families. Finn's been here off and on for the past 5 years or so. But when he's not here, somebody else usually is.
So, he's a bodyguard?
Yeah, something like that.
Reese nodded.
But what do they need bodyguards for?
I thought back to the iron gate and the security guard who had allowed our entrance into Foritning in the first place. When I had looked around the entryway, I remembered seeing a fancy alarm system by the front door. This all seemed like an awful lot of trouble to go to for a small community hidden in the bluffs. I wondered if this was all for the Vitre, but I didn't want to ask.
She's the queen. It's just standard procedure,
Reese answered evasively, and he purposely stared down at his plate. He tried to erase his anxiety before I noticed and forced a smile.
So how does it feel being a princess?
Honestly, not as awesome as I thought it would be, I said, and he laughed heartily at that. Reese kind of straightened up the kitchen after we finished eating, explaining the maid would be in tomorrow to take care of the rest of it. He gave me a brief tour of the house, showing me all the ridiculous antiquities that had been passed down from generation to generation. One room only held pictures of previous kings and queens. When I asked where a picture of my father was, Reese just shook his head and said he didn't know anything about it. Eventually, we parted ways. He cited some homework he had to get done and having to get to bed because he had school in the morning. I wandered around the house a bit more, but I never saw either Finn or Alora. I played around with the stuff in my room, but I quickly tired of it. Feeling restless and bored, I tried to get some rest, but sleep eluded me. I felt incredibly homesick. I longed for the familiar comfort of my regular-sized house with all my ordinary things. If I were at home, Matt would be sitting in the living room, reading a book under the glow of the lamplight. Right now, he was probably staring at the phone or driving around to look for me. And Maggie was probably crying her eyes out, which would only make Matt blame himself more. My actual mother was somewhere in this house, or I assume she was, anyway. She had abandoned me with a family that she knew nothing about except that they were rich, and she knew there was a risk that I could be killed. It happens sometimes. That's what she said. When I came back after all these years away from me, she hadn't hugged me or even been that happy to see me. Everything felt way too big in this house. With all this vast space between everything, it felt like I was trapped on an island. I had always thought that's what I wanted, to be my very own island. But here I was, and I felt nothing but isolated and confused. It didn't help that people weren't telling me things. Every time I asked something, there were only half answers and vague responses before the person I'd asked quickly changed the subject. For being set to inherit a kingdom of sorts, I was pretty low on the information ladder. Chapter 10. Precognition. After sleeping fitfully, I got up and got ready for the day. I wandered around the house, but not intentionally. I'd been trying to get to the kitchen, but I took a wrong turn somewhere and got lost. Reese had given me an explanation of the palace layout the day before, but not enough, apparently. The palace was divided into two massive wings, separated by the grand entryway. All official business took place in the south wing, which housed the meeting rooms, ballroom, a massive dining hall, offices, the throne room, as well as staff quarters and the queen's bedroom. The north wing was more casual and contained my room, guest bedrooms, a living room, the kitchen, and a sitting parlor. I was wandering around the north wing, opening doors and investigating. As far as I could tell, this place had almost as many guest rooms as a Holiday Inn, only they were a whole lot fancier. I eventually found Alora's parlor, but she wasn't there, so it didn't help me any. I moved on and tried to open the door across the hall from Alora's space, but it wouldn't budge. So far, this was the only door I'd found that had been locked, and I found that strange, especially in this wing. I suppose in the south wing, locking up official business would make sense. Fortunately, I knew a thing or two about lockpicking. In attempts to keep from being expelled, I had broken into a few school offices and stolen papers. I don't recommend it, and in the end, it was usually ineffective. I pulled a bobby pin from my hair and looked around. I didn't see anyone, and hadn't so far this morning, so I set about breaking in. After a few unsuccessful twists in the lock, I felt something give, and I turned the knob. Pushing the door open slowly, I peeked in, half expecting to find the royal bathroom or something. When nobody screamed at me to go away, I pushed the door open wider and stepped inside. Unlike the other rooms, this one was completely dark. Feeling along the wall, I finally found the light switch and flicked it on. The room reminded me of a large storeroom. It had no windows, and the walls were dark brown. With a bare light bulb in the ceiling, it held none of the grandeur of the rest of the house, and it had no furniture. But it was filled to the brim with paintings. Not hanging on the wall, just stacked and piled around in every available space. At first, I assumed they must be leftovers from the king and queen room. But from what I could see, none of them were portraits. I picked up the one nearest to me, and it was a lovely picture of a newborn baby wrapped in a blue blanket. I set it aside and picked up another, which appeared to be Alora, looking much younger and even more beautiful, dressed in a gorgeous white gown. Despite the beauty of the picture, her eyes looked sad and remorseful. Holding the picture at arm's length so I could get a better look at it, I realized something. It had the same brushstrokes, the same technique as the painting of the baby. I picked up another picture to compare, and it was the same too. These were all painted by the same artist. I thought back to the drawing room and the painting I had seen Alora working on. Something with dark smoke and chandeliers. I couldn't be certain, but I would guess these were hers. I sifted through a few more of the paintings, growing even more bewildered, and then I saw one that stopped my heart cold. When I picked it up, I wasn't surprised to see my hands were shaking. It showed me, looking about the same as I did now, except dressed nicer. I wore a beautiful flowing white gown, but there was a tear in the side of the dress, revealing a thin line of red blood. My hair had been pulled back, but it was starting to come loose, wild strands falling free. In the painting, I lay on my belly on a marble balcony. The floor around me was covered in pieces of glass that shimmered like diamonds, but I didn't seem to notice. My outstretched hand extended past the balcony, reaching into a dark oblivion. But my face was what struck me the most. I looked absolutely horrified. Once I got past that, I realized something even more disturbing. This picture looked exactly like me, and I'd only been here for a day. There was no way Alora could have painted something this detailed within 24 hours of meeting me. But how could she paint me with such accuracy if we'd never met?
I should have known you'd be snooping, Finn said from behind me, startling me so much I dropped the painting.
I got lost. I turned to look at him standing in the doorway.
In a locked room?
He raised an eyebrow and crossed his arms. No, I started to formulate some kind of lame excuse, but decided against it. I picked up the picture, the one of me reaching for nothing, and held it up for him to see. What's this?
It appears to be a painting. And if you hadn't gathered from the locked door, it's also none of your business.
It came as a relief that Finn didn't sound very upset. At least, not as upset as Alora would be if she found out I was in here, I'm sure. This is me, I tapped the picture.
Maybe.
He shrugged as if he wasn't convinced. No, I wasn't asking. This is me, I insisted. What am I doing?
I haven't the faintest idea,
Finn sighed.
I didn't paint it.
Did Alora? I asked. And when he didn't say anything, I took that as my answer. Why would she paint this? How did she paint this? We'd never met before yesterday.
She gave birth to you. You'd met before,
Finn replied dryly. Yeah, when I was a baby. That doesn't count. I raised the picture higher so he couldn't help but look at it. Why would she paint this? Or any of these?
In all your myriad questions about this room, did you ever stop to ask yourself why this room is locked?
Finn gave me a hard look.
That Alora might not want people looking at these?
Yeah. It did occur to me. I looked back down at the painting, ignoring him. But this is me. I have a right to know.
That's not how it works. You don't have the right to know other people's thoughts just because they include you,
he said.
Just the same as I don't have the right to yours just because they're about me.
You presume that I think of you? I fought the growing blush on my cheeks and shook my head, trying to get back to the point. Just tell me what's going on, and don't just tell me to wait for Alora to tell me, because that's not good enough. Not after seeing this. I put the painting down and returned my gaze to Finn.
Fine. But get out of there before Allura finds you.
He moved back from the doorway, making room for me to step out. I had to climb over all the paintings I had disturbed, but he didn't tell me to put them back in order, which was good because I didn't think I could. The room had no organization, and all the paintings were placed haphazardly. Once I made my escape, Finn shut the door, making certain it was locked properly.
So?
I asked, looking at him expectantly. He had his back to me, testing the door again to be sure it wouldn't budge.
So, that's Allura's private room.
He turned to look at me and pointed at the door.
Do not go in there. Do not touch her private things.
I don't know what's so bad about them. Why does she paint them if she's going to hide them away? He started walking down the hall, so I went after him.
She paints them because she has to.
What do you mean? I crinkled my brow. Like an artist's urge takes hold of her? I thought about it more, and it made even less sense. Allura doesn't seem like an artist type.
She's not. Really?
Finn sighed.
She has precognition.
What? Like, she can see the future? I asked dubiously.
Kind of.
He wagged his head, like that wasn't quite right.
She can't see it. She can only paint it.
Wait. I stopped short, and he walked a few more steps before stopping to look back at me. You're telling me all those paintings were of the future? Finn nodded.
At the time they were painted, yes. Some of them are old, and they've already happened.
But that means the picture of me, that's in the future. I pointed back at the room. What does that mean? What am I doing?
I don't know.
He shrugged as if he hadn't thought of it.
Allura doesn't know.
How can she not know? That makes no sense. She painted it.
Yes, and all she knows is what she paints,
Finn explained slowly.
She doesn't see anything. She picks up the brush and it just comes out. Or at least that's my understanding of the process.
But why would she just randomly paint me looking so scared?
It's just how it is,
he said, a note of sadness in his voice. Breathing deeply, he started walking away again.
And that's why the room is locked.
What do you mean? I chased after him.
People want to know more about what she's painted, but she doesn't have the answers,
Finn said.
Or they want her to paint a particular spot in the future, and she can't. She has no control over what she sees.
What's the point of it, then? I asked. I quickened my pace to keep up with him, staring at his profile while he continued to stare straight ahead.
She thinks it's a punishment.
For what?
Everybody has something to be punished for.
He shook his head vaguely. So she has no idea what will happen to me? Or how to prevent it?
No.
That's horrible, I said, more to myself than him. That's even worse than not knowing anything.
Precisely.
Finn looked at me and slowed down, then stopped completely. Will I be able to do that? Have precognitive painting? I asked.
Maybe. Maybe not.
His eyes searched mine in that soft way they did sometimes, and if I hadn't been worrying about my impending doom, I would have felt my stomach flutter. Do you know what my abilities will be?
No. Only time will tell for sure.
He looked away, staring off at nothing.
Based on your parentage, they'll be very strong.
When will I know for sure?
Later. After your training starts, and maybe when you get a bit older.
Finn smiled thinly at me.
You have much to look forward to.
Like what?
Like everything.
He smiled more genuinely and turned to walk away again.
Come on. I want to show you something.
Chapter 11. Secret Garden. Finn led me through the house and down a hall I didn't know existed. We went out the side door and stepped onto a narrow gravel trail lined with tall hedges. It curved around the house, leading us down the bluffs before it opened into a beautiful garden. The house and balcony hung over part of it, leaving half of it in shadows, but the rest was bathed in the warm, bright glow of the sun. Brick walls covered in thick flowered vines kept the garden blocked off from the rest of the world. Apple, pear, and plum trees blossomed all over the garden, making it more of an orchard than a garden. Flowers of pink and purple and blue sprang out in small beds, and mossy greens like creeping Charlie grew in patches along the ground. It was on a hillside, so the whole thing tilted down. As we walked down the trail, I slipped a bit, and Finn took my hand to steady me. My skin flushed warmly, but the second I caught my balance, he let go of my hand. Still, I refused to let it dampen my mood. "How is this possible?" I asked as butterflies and birds flitted about the trees. "None of these things are in season. They shouldn't be flowering."
"They always flower, even in winter," Finn said, as if that made more sense.
"How?" I repeated.
"Magic."
He smiled and walked ahead. I looked up at the house towering above us. From where I stood, I couldn't see any of the windows. The garden had been built in the perfect spot so it wasn't visible from the house, leaving it hidden among the trees. It was a secret garden. Finn was ahead of me, and I hurried to catch up to him. The sound of the wind in the trees and the river flowing echoed through the bluffs, but over that I heard laughter. I walked around a hedge and saw a pond that inexplicably included a small waterfall. I found the source of the laughter on two curved stone benches poised around it. Reese lay on his back on one bench, laughing and looking up at the sky, and Finn stood next to him, admiring the sparkling pond. A girl looking a little bit older than me sat on the other bench, a Mountain Dew bottle in her hand. Her hair was shiny red, her eyes sparkled green, and she had a nervous smile. When she saw me, she stood up and paled a little.
"You got here just in time, Wendy,"
Reese smirked, sitting up.
"We were having a show. Rhiannon was just about to burp the alphabet."
"Oh my gosh, Reese, I was not," the girl protested, her cheeks flushing with embarrassment. "I just drank the Mountain Dew too fast, and I said excuse me."
Reese laughed again, and she looked apologetically at me.
"I'm sorry. Reese can be such an idiot sometimes. I wanted to make a better first impression than this."
"You're doing okay so far."
I wasn't used to the idea of anybody trying to impress me, ever, and I couldn't imagine that this girl would have to try too hard. She already had a certain likable quality to her.
"Anyway, Wendy, this is Rhiannon, the girl next door."
Reese gestured from one to the other of us.
"Rhiannon, this is Wendy, future ruler of everything around you."
"Hi, nice to meet you." She set down her pop and came over to me so she could shake my hand. "I've heard so much about you."
"Oh yeah? Like what?"
I asked. Rhiannon floundered helplessly for a minute, looking to Reese for help, but he just laughed.
"It's okay, I was just kidding," I told her.
"Oh, sorry."
She flashed an embarrassed smile. "Why don't you come have a seat, Rhiannon, and relax for a bit?"
Reese patted the seat next to him, trying to ease her discomfort. She felt awkward because of me, and I still couldn't wrap my head around the concept.
"Is this new?"
Finn asked Reese and pointed to the pond.
Yeah,
Reese nodded.
"I think Alora had it put in while you were gone. She's getting everything all fancied up because of everything that's coming."
Finn said noncommittally. I went over to inspect the pond and waterfall myself. The waterfall should have drained the pond, since the pond had no other water flowing into it. I admired the way it sparkled brightly under the sun and thought it shouldn't even be possible. But then again, none of this should be possible. Reese continued to tease Rhiannon about everything, and she kept blushing and making apologies for him. Their relationship resembled a normal, healthy sibling relationship,
and I had to push the thought away before I had a chance to think of Matt. I sat down on the bench across from them, and Finn took a seat next to me. Reese tended to dominate the conversation, with Rhiannon interjecting when he said things that were categorically untrue or apologizing when she thought he was being rude. He never was, though. He was funny and lively and kept things from ever feeling awkward. Occasionally, Finn would look over at me and make quiet comments when Reese and Rhiannon were otherwise engaged in some kind of debate. Every time he did, I felt his knee brush against mine. At first, I assumed it was a simple accident because of our close proximity, but he had actually tilted himself toward me, leaning in closer. It was a subtle move, one that Reese and Rhiannon probably wouldn't catch, but I definitely had.
"You are such a pest,"
Rhiannon grumbled playfully after Reese had flicked an unwanted flower at her. She twirled it in her hands, admiring the beauty of it.
"You know you're not even supposed to pick these flowers. Allura will kill you if she finds out."
"So what do you think?" Finn asked me, his voice low. I leaned toward him so I could hear him better, and his dark eyes met mine. "It's really lovely," I smiled, gesturing to the garden around us, but I couldn't look away from him.
"I wanted to show you that it's not all cold and intimidating," Finn explained. "I wanted you to see something warm and beautiful."
A small smile played on his lips.
"Although, when you're not around, it's not quite as nice here."
"You think so?" I asked, trying to make my voice sound sexier somehow, but I completely failed. Finn smiled wider, and my heart nearly hammered out of my chest.
"Sorry for interrupting your playtime," Allura spoke from behind us. Her voice wasn't that loud, but somehow it seemed to echo through everything.
Reese and Rhiannon immediately stopped their fighting, both of them sitting up rigidly and staring down at the pond. Finn moved away from me, at the same time turning around to face Allura, making it look like that had been his intention. The way she looked at me made me feel guilty, even though I was pretty sure I hadn't done anything wrong.
"You weren't interrupting anything,"
Finn assured her, but I sensed nervousness below his calm words.
"Were you planning to join us?"
"No, that'll be quite all right." Allura surveyed the garden with distaste. "I needed to speak with you."
"Would you like us to be excused?"
Reese offered, and Rhiannon promptly stood up.
"That won't be necessary."
Allura held up her hand, and Rhiannon blushed as she sat back down.
"We will be having guests for dinner."
Her eyes went back to Reese and Rhiannon, and Rhiannon seemed to cower under Allura's gaze.
"I trust that you two will find a way to make yourselves useful."
"When they come over here, I'll go over to Rhiannon's," Reese suggested cheerily.
Allura nodded at him, indicating that his response was sufficient.
"As for you, you will be joining us."
Allura smiled at me, but couldn't mask the unease behind it.
"The guests are very good friends of our family, and I expect you to make a good impression on them."
She gave Finn that intense look, staring at him so long I felt uncomfortable, and he nodded in understanding.
"Finn will be in charge of preparing you for the dinner."
I nodded, figuring that I had better say something.
"Okay. That is all. Carry on."
Allura turned and walked away, her skirt flowing behind her. But nobody said anything until she was long gone. Finn sighed, and Rhiannon practically shivered with relief. She was clearly even more terrified of the queen than I was, and I wondered what Allura had done to make the girl so afraid. Only Reese seemed to shake it off as soon as she had left.
"I don't know how you can stand that creepy mind-speak thing she does with you, Finn."
Reese shook his head.
"I would freak out if she was in my head."
"Why? There's nothing in your head for her to get into."
Finn stood up, and Rhiannon giggled nervously.
"What did she say to you anyway?"
Reese pressed, looking up at him. Finn dusted off his pants, ridding them of dirt and leaves from the bench, but he didn't respond.
"Finn,"
What'd she say?
It's nothing to concern yourself with.
Finn admonished him quietly, then turned to me.
Are you ready?
For what?
We have a lot to go over.
He glanced warily at the house, then back at me.
Come on, we better get started.
As we walked back to the house, I realized that whenever Allura left, I was able to breathe again. Whenever she was present, it was as if she took all the oxygen from the room. Breathing deeply, I ran my hand up and down my arm to stifle the chill that ran over me.
Are you holding up all right?
Finn asked, noticing my unease. Yeah, I'm great. I tucked some of my curls behind my ears. So, what's going on with you and Allura?
What do you mean?
Finn looked at me from the corner of his eye. I don't know, I shrugged, thinking of what Rhys had said after she'd left. It just seems like she looks at you intently a lot, and like you understand exactly what she means. As soon as it came out of my mouth, it dawned on me. That's one of her abilities, isn't it? Talking inside your head? Kind of like what I can do, but less manipulative, because she's just telling you what to do.
Not even telling me what to do. She's just talking.
Finn corrected me. Why doesn't she talk to me like that? I asked.
She wasn't sure if you'd be receptive. If you're not accustomed to it, hearing another person's voice in your head can be unsettling. And she didn't really need to.
But she needed to with you? I slowed down, and he matched my pace. She was talking to you privately about me, wasn't she? Finn paused, and I could see that he was considering lying to me.
Some of it, yes,
he admitted. Can she read minds? I felt slightly horrified at the thought.
No, very few can.
When he looked over at me, he smiled crookedly.
Your secrets are safe, Wendy.
We went into the dining room, and Finn set about preparing me for dinner. As it turned out, I wasn't completely socially stunted and had a basic understanding of manners. Most of what Finn said amounted to common sense things, like always say please and thank you, but he also encouraged me to keep my mouth shut whenever possible. I think his task had been less about preparing me for the dinner and more about keeping me in line. The secret things Allura had been telling him had just been a warning to babysit me, or else. Dinner was at 8, and the company was arriving at 7. About an hour or so before that, Rhys popped in to wish me good luck and let me know he was heading over to Rhiannon's, in case anybody cared. Shortly after I got out of the shower, Finn came in, looking even sharper than usual. He was clean-shaven for the first time since he'd stopped going to school, and he wore black slacks and a black button-down shirt with a narrow white tie. It should have been too much with all that black, but he managed to pull it off, all the while looking incredibly sexy. I had on only my bathrobe, and I wondered why nobody here thought it was inappropriate for boys to barge in when I wasn't dressed. At least I was doing something semi-sexy, sitting on the edge of my bed, putting lotion on my legs. I did it every time I showered, but since Finn was in the room, I tried to play it off as being sensual when it really wasn't. Not that Finn even noticed. He knocked once, opened my bedroom door, and only gave me a fleeting glance as he headed straight to my closet. After a little while, I sighed in frustration and hurriedly rubbed the rest of the lotion in while Finn continued to rummage through my clothes. I don't think I have anything in your size, I said, and leaned farther back on my bed, trying to see what he was doing in there.
Funny,
he muttered absently. What are you doing in there? I asked, watching him, but he didn't even look at me.
You are a princess, and you need to dress like one.
He went through my dresses and pulled out a long white sleeveless gown. It was gorgeous and much too fancy for me. When he came out of the closet, he handed it to me.
I think this might work. Try it on.
Isn't everything in my closet suitable? I tossed the dress on the bed next to me and turned to look at him.
Yes, but different things are better for different occasions.
He came over to the bed to smooth out the dress, making sure it didn't have any wrinkles or creases.
This is a very important dinner, Wendy.
Why? What makes this one so important?
The Stromes are very good friends of your mother's, and the Croners are very important people. They affect the future.
Finn finished smoothing the dress and turned to me.
Why don't you continue getting ready?
How do they affect the future? What does that mean? I pressed.
That's a conversation for another day.
Finn nodded toward the bathroom.
You need to hurry if you're going to be ready in time for dinner.
Fine, I sighed, getting up off the bed.
Wear your hair down,
Finn commanded. My hair was wet, so it was behaving now, but I knew that as soon as it dried, it would turn into a wild thicket of curls. I can't. My hair is impossible.
We all have difficult hair, even Alora and I. It's the curse of being Trill,
Finn said.
It's something you must learn to manage.
Your hair is nothing like mine, I said dourly. His hair was short and obviously had some product in it, but it looked smooth, straight, and obedient.
It most certainly is, Finn replied.
I meant to prove him wrong, so impulsively I reached out and touched his hair, running my fingers through the hair at his temple. Other than being stiff with product, it felt like my hair. It wasn't until I had done it that I realized there was something inherently intimate about running my fingers through another person's hair. I had been looking at his hair, but then I met his dark eyes and realized exactly how close I was to him. Since I was short, I was standing on my tiptoes, leaning up to him as if I were about to kiss him. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought that would be a very good course of action right about now.
Satisfied? Finn asked.
I retracted my hand and took a step back.
There should be hair products in your bathroom. Experiment.
I nodded my compliance, still too flustered to speak. Finn was unnaturally calm, and at times like that, I really hated how aloof he could be. I barely even remembered to breathe until I was in my bathroom. Being that near to him made me forget everything but his dark eyes, the heat from his skin, his wonderful scent, the feel of his hair beneath my fingers, the smooth curve of his lips. I shook my head, clearing it of any thoughts of him. That had to be the end of that. I had a dinner tonight to worry about, and somehow I had to do something with my hair. I tried to remember what Maggie had used in my hair before I went to the dance, but that felt like a lifetime ago. Thankfully, my hair magically decided to behave itself tonight, making the whole process go easier. Finn seemed to think my hair looked better down, so I left the length of it hanging in the back and pulled the sides back with clips. To top off the ensemble, I got a diamond necklace for my jewelry box. The dress turned out to be